This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Norm Leahy joins me. He is Vice President for Public Affairs of Tersham Quids, and you can read his work at the Tersham Quids blog, which is tershamquids.blogspot.com. Norm's been doing some terrific investigative reporting into the latest on the Faith and Family Alliance story, which if you haven't heard about this, sit tight, don't go anywhere, give us the next 20 minutes, and we will educate you about what in the world, why so many reporters all of a sudden want to talk to Norm Leahy and get all the details. Norm, thanks for joining us.
You bet, Coy.
Appreciate it. Before we talk about this, the FFA, remind us again what Tersham Quids is, because it's not just a blog, it's also an organization as well.
It's an adventure, Coy. You're sure you're not hyping the Army, too? No, Tersham Quids is a advocacy group here in Virginia. We work on three main areas, tax reform, property rights, and education reform. I guess if you had to describe us, that we are quite conservative in our outlook and the things that we do. The sad thing is, though, I had to register as a lobbyist. That still breaks my heart.
Norm Leahy, of course, is a graduate of the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership, the Political Leaders Program class of 2006, I believe. Yes. And he's a good friend of this program. So, Norm, tell us this Faith and Family Alliance story. I only heard about it recently, but it just every day it seems to get a little bit bigger. We had a caller in the first hour who called in and asked Bill Bowling his thoughts about this growing story, and he said no comment. Is that what you're hearing from most of the folks that may be involved?
You get a lot of no comments on this story, Coy, and it's not surprising because it's not a very good story for Republicans. And the thing is, it's been hanging around since about 2000. It was an organization started around February of that year, allegedly to support conservative candidates, get conservatives elected from Virginia. Its prime movers were people like Tim Phillips, who is now the National Director of Americans for Prosperity, Phil Cox, who is now the campaign manager for Bob McDonald, Pat Mullins, who is now the head of the Republican Party of Virginia, and Kevin Gentry, another big mover in the Republican Party of Virginia. And it was led, the day-to-day operations were led by a man named Robin Vanderwall, a young man who had actually run an earlier campaign for Bob McDonald and later was sentenced to prison, from which he was just very recently released, for soliciting minors online for sex. The group apparently only ran one campaign during its entire brief existence, and that was to get involved in a primary race between then-delegate Eric Cantor and now State Senator Steve Martin to replace Tom Bliley. Remember, Mr. Bliley retired from Congress.
Sure.
And the thing about it is nobody really heard much about this organization, but late in the campaign, they came up with a pretty tough hit piece in the Mail, calling into question some business dealings that Cantor had had. And then they also apparently, from the things that I have read in the paper, conducted a series of phone calls saying that Martin was the only Christian candidate in the race. Now, that raised a lot of people's hackles, and it was called anti-Semitic. I asked Larry Sabato, actually. He very graciously responded to a question I asked about that, because in a Daily Progress piece, he said that it was basically an anti-Semitic campaign. I asked him to clarify that, and he said that's what the Cantor people were characterizing it at the time. And, of course, Cantor barely won that race. It was a little over 200 votes separating him and Martin. And if you talk to Cantor today, no hard feelings. We're all on the same team. He doesn't want to talk about it anymore. But the group disbanded not too long after that. But the thing is, it gets even stranger. Because at the time, Tim Phillips, who recruited the other board members, who recruited Robin Vanderwall, was a business partner in something called Century Strategies, which was run by Ralph Reed. Do you remember Ralph Reed?
I remember Ralph Reed, of course.
Former head of the Christian Coalition.
Sure. Well,
he was set up down in Atlanta, and Ralph was looking for business. He had a desire to make money, keep the doors open. So he contacted an old associate of his named Jack Abramoff. Do you remember Jack Abramoff?
Yes, and remind us who Jack Abramoff is.
Jack Abramoff is now a ward of the state, which means he is in prison, for influence peddling, racketeering, laundering money, all that kind of stuff. He essentially shook down Indian tribes, telling them that he would use their money to defend their casino gambling interests. And it wasn't a little bit of money. It was a whole bunch of money, millions of dollars in fees. But apparently, Ralph, good Christian that he is, wanted some of this business. He promised that he could get the Christian right to oppose these other gambling interests that would compete with Indian casinos in various states. For whatever reason, Reed had a habit of setting up shell organizations to accept payments from Abramoff and his clients to run his campaigns. He did this in other states. And there is some question I read in an old article that actually appeared in all places at GQ saying that it's possible that Faith and Family Alliance only accepted one check, and that was a check from Jack Abramoff that went through a rather circuitous route from Abramoff to Americans for Tax Reform, which then went to the Faith and Family Alliance, which was then sent to Ralph Reed. And Ralph was very interested in the status of this check, called on it several times, which is understandable because it was for $150,000. But then if you go and try to find any records of the Faith and Family Alliance accepting donations, they never filed a final tax return for the organization. No papers were filed closing the organization out. So the only evidence we have that this happened is Robin Vanderwall, who spoke many times to reporters in 2005 during the Attorney General race, the last time this issue came up, actually, because Bob McDonnell was on the ticket, and that's how we know that this money passed through there. Vanderwall essentially called the Faith and Family Alliance a shell organization that simply passed money from Abramoff to Ralph Reed.
We're talking with Norman Leahy of Tersham Quids. It's tershamquids.blogspot.com. He is Vice President for Public Affairs, doing some investigative research into the Faith and Family Alliance. And Norm, just to remind folks, the reason this is even a story now, all these years later, is because so many of the players in the Faith and Family Alliance years ago are now some of these leaders in the Republican Party of Virginia today.
That is true. Bob McDonnell, for example, was brought in to help reorganize and refile their incorporation papers. Pat Mullins, like I said, is now the head of the RPV, the Republican Party of Virginia. Phil Cox, another one of its directors, is Bob McDonnell's campaign manager. Tim Phillips, who is now the national president of Americans for Prosperity, had been an advisor to the McDonnell campaign back in 2005. Tim Phillips's New Dominion Strategies was Bob McDonnell's biggest vendor, over $1.3 million that McDonnell campaign paid them. Another person involved with the Faith and Family Alliance, according to the papers that I've seen, Keith Polarek, its vice president. His wife ran the McDonnell campaign in 2005 for attorney general. She is still a consultant for that campaign today in his gubernatorial race.
And the allegation is that this organization, the Faith and Family Alliance, was its former convicted former director says that we were a shell company for Abramoff money, that it was very connected to the whole Abramoff scandal, but there were just never any charges brought.
Right, right. And that's what he says in reports that he interviews that he gave to the Washington Post back in 2005. He says that this was simply a shell organization passing this money through. Now, we're trying to get back in touch with Vanderwall to find out more about this, to find out more about who knew what about what was happening in that organization. Because if you ask any of these people today about any of the operations of this organization, either have no comment, they don't know. When I found about it, I was horrified and quit, and they think the case stops there. But, you know, from my side of the political fence, Coy, that's troubling, because you can't have that many people involved in something, and nobody knows anything about what's going on. Something there doesn't smell right. And if conservatives really want to get out of the wilderness, if the Republicans really want to get back into the good graces of the people, they need to hold their own accountable. And they need stories and episodes like this. They need them closed up, questions answered. And if people did things wrong, if other people did things wrong, they need to be held accountable for them. And if that embarrasses some folks along the way, so be it. If that means that some folks end up paying a higher penalty, so be it. You can't have things like this hanging out there unanswered when, quite honestly, it looks bad. I can't say it's criminal because I don't know that. I can't say anything else about that because we're trying to find out the answers ourselves. But from surface appearances, it looks terrible. And nobody has answered any of these questions.
We're talking with Norm Leahy of tertiumquids.blogspot.com. It's it's TERTIUM, quids, QUIDS, tertiumquids.blogspot.com. And Norm, just to underscore, before we move on, just to underscore something, this isn't you're not a liberal attack machine. In other words, you really are making an effort, in your words, as you've told me before, to try to police your own. I mean, you are very much of a conservative and a libertarian, and you believe in the Republican Party and the things that the conservatives stand for, and you would like to see some answers to some of these questions.
Well, I would like to see some answers to these questions because you can't, you know, you have to keep your own house in order before you can try to go out and change how anybody else does something. And these questions, like I said, if you ask for people's comment, they have no comment. I didn't know. It wasn't me. That just doesn't wash. One of the things that conservatives are big on is accountability and personal responsibility. And if nobody is willing to step forward and take responsibility for this, that looks terrible. And we need to get to the bottom of this. And if it's going to come up to people like me to do it, well, then we'll do it. That's fine because somebody has to.
Now, just to move on and turn the page here, your thoughts about the race for the governor's mansion this year. Of course, Bob McDonald is the Republican nominee. You have three folks vying for the Democratic nomination. The primary is June 9th. Handicap that race for us on the Democratic side, if you can.
Well, God bless primaries, Coy, because they're so entertaining. I just love them to death. Because you get wacky things like Brian Moran's radio spots that he has to turn around and sanitize because they call Hillary Clinton bad names. And, you know, through this whole thing, I have wondered whether Virginia would follow the way of West Virginia and allow somebody to buy their way into elected office. And it depends upon whom I talk to. I have some Democratic friends who say that there's no way on this earth that Terry McAuliffe will win the primary and that Brian Moran will do it. And there are others who say that they look at the Moran campaign and wonder, what's he thinking? They don't understand it. And yet, sitting out there in the background is Cree Deeds. Nobody says a lot about Cree. And I keep in the back of my mind thinking, you know, people might just default to him because the other two guys are so unsavory. But it's going to be a low turnout affair, and that just means, I actually think, the candidate who has the largest number of voting-age family members and gets them to the polls wins. So I think that, you know, look at the genealogy chart, find out who's going to win.
Right.
But it's going to be just really close because people are, let's face it, Democrats have election fatigue. I think everybody does, really, but they just come off a hugely charged emotional win in the 2008 presidential race. And you mean we got another election this year? I think folks on that side are a little tired, but that doesn't necessarily mean that Bob McDonald's going to waltz through things. Yes, the polls show him beating all comers, but until the Democrats choose a nominee, I think those numbers aren't really worth a lot. Once the Democrats settle on somebody, the race will tighten up, people will start paying a little bit more attention, and it'll become a lot more entertaining as we go along. The one thing I do find interesting, though, is that nobody is able to raise a great deal of money. I kept thinking that by now people would be raising money hand over fist. Certainly Tara McAuliffe is, but I thought Bob McDonald would be raising more. And I also find it interesting that McDonald has been forced to start running TV ads, those gauzy, I'm Bob McDonald kind of things that never mention he's a Republican. I don't think he intended to do that, but this Common Sense Virginia PAC that has been set up to beat him up on the unemployment compensation issue.
Yeah,
they forced his hand on that to run ads, I think, probably a little bit sooner than he would otherwise have preferred doing so. But still, this is going to be a tight race. Republicans have a lot riding on it. It's one of only two gubernatorial races in the country this year. So there will be a lot of idle money and hands ready to go to work in these campaigns here and in New Jersey. And so we'll also see, and we are already seeing a lot of national money come into this on both sides.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's going to be some big national money pouring in here after the primary.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's great news for radio stations and TV stations and newspapers, because you all could use the money right now. And the candidates will be spending it hand over fist. And they're going to have to, because I really do get the sense that the electorate is a little bit tired, a little bit disconnected. And quite honestly, with the economy the way it is, I think people are worried about their jobs more than they are who's going to be in the governor's mansion.
Yeah, good point. Norman Leahy is Vice President for Public Affairs for Tertium Quids. The blog is tertiumquids.blogspot.com, and you can check out all his work there and, of course, the latest reporting that he updates almost daily about what's going on with his research into the Faith and Family Alliance. Norm, thank you for joining us. Let's talk again soon.
All right, Coy, thanks.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.